Welcome to the Phil Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:04 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 27th. Well, I thought we'd kick off with Japan because the yen has started to weaken, and this has been a rather interesting trend over the last almost 7 years. So there's been a clear pattern where there's been a succession of lower rally highs. And until about 4 weeks ago, it was looking like that resistance around the 110 area was about as weak as the yen was going to go. We had a bit of a bounce for the dollar, but then inflation figures in Japan came in well below expectations in here today, and that increases the potential that Japan is going to become a little bit more activist in suppressing the value of the currency. So we simply just zoom in and look at the daily chart. This looks like a pretty dynamic move, and it suggests that there's at least near-term support for the dollar, and there's the potential that we could see over the course of the next month or two that those highs around 111 are taken out. Well, Suga also lost 3 seats in regional elections. So there's the potential that Japan could also be looking at getting another prime minister. So we might be returning back to this succession of short-term prime ministers after Abe's long tenure. And also that's not especially encouraging from a governance perspective. When we think about the second section index, it is easing back from the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming now since the beginning of 2018. So there's the scope for at least a pause and consolidation around this area. When we think about the Nikkei, it's been holding the 30,000 area has been holding it back for the last 3 months, and it was in negative territory today. We're still a little overbought relative to the trend mean, so there is the potential that we might see some additional pause and consolidation. The Japanese banks were at some of the hardest hit from the Archegos debacle, so it remains under pressure overall. So while Japan is quite well levered to the return to growth of the global economy and should continue to do well, there is certainly scope for some pause and consolidation in the short term before we start to see support starting to come back in. And of course, if we do see the yen breaking the downtrend, if we see the dollar breaking its downtrend against the yen, then that would be probably a significant tailwind for nominal prices in much the same way that we saw back in 2012 and 13. But of course, it would probably then also create demand for some hedging. So we're at a rather interesting juncture here for a number of the, or I think for Japan generally. Bearing in mind that Japanese banks have been easing back, we don't see anything like that kind of reticence in enthusiasm for the Korean banks, and they are clearly popping on the upside in here. And this is certainly a very profound rebound that we're seeing over the course of this year. And it's very similar for Taiwanese banks, and they have also been really rocketing higher over the course of the last couple of months. And then if we look at the Singapore banks, and when we think about that, I'm struggling to remember the sector index, but we can simply take DBS, and it is pushing on to test the highs from back in 2018 as well. So there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm for the banking sector right across the more developed markets in Asia outside of Japan. And then when we look at the Asia ETF, well, it has been pausing now for most of the last 6 months, And it was in negative territory in here today as well. But as long as it's holding the region of the trend mean, we're still in a demand-dominated environment overall. The big challenge for all regional stocks is China. And the A-share index has at least continued to hold the region of the trend mean in here today. And the currency remains very steady, and the renminbi has been holding this region here for most of the last few months, and it is continuing to appreciate. So even though the dollar is appreciating versus the yen, this is a competition for who's got the weakest currency, because the dollar index has been unable to sustain a rally now for the entire month of April. It's coming back down towards the lower side of this range. When we look at the Bloomberg Dollar Index, and it certainly helps if you type the correct ticker, it's clearly demonstrated resistance in the region of the trend mean. It's a little bit steadier in here today, but this has got less of a euro influence overall. Now, when we then think about the commodity complex, we had the OPEC come through with their decision. They're going to modestly increase their supply. Oil prices have closed at the upper side of the range on the day, up about a dollar, but all of that gain has happened in about the last hour. For the majority of the day, it was really not doing much of anything. And we can also think about the fact that the S&P 500 turned around in the last hour of trading as well, so was able to tack on a positive return for the day. When we then think about, well, what exactly is going on? Well, earnings continue to come through, and the economic activity globally continues to pick up. So we're definitely seeing that, for example, UPS did extremely well today on its earnings and popped on the upside. Wasn't quite able to hold all of the move intraday, but this was a big gap higher on the news of very positive earnings, and it suggests that there's lots of economic activity still going on. And then we can think about the online retailers and those companies levered to online activity, like Shopify, and it's steadying from the region of the trend mean. Adobe is one of the companies that benefited most from the adoption of the subscription business model and the evolution of online selling, because you're effectively selling photos. And the share has now broken its downward bias and is firming from above the $500 area. So we're definitely seeing that there's more interest in some of these companies that have been consolidating. Apple continues to hold the bounce from the region of its trend mean, and Amazon is continuing to firm within this range that's been forming now for about 9 months, and it's really not all that far away from pushing on to new highs, and it has broken the downward bias from the peak back in July of 2020. So that's rather positive. I do apologize for my phone continuing to ring. When we think about what's exactly going on here, well, the stock markets remain firm because we continue to see this continued enthusiasm for economic growth. So that is one of the reasons why copper prices have been so firm. And the LME copper price is now right in the region of that psychological 10,000 level. One thing that I found interesting in here today is that the magnitude of the rebound that we've seen from the low is approximately $5,400, and the magnitude of the rally from the low in 2009 was about $5,000 before we saw a meaningful pause in consolidation. And as we are looking at this psychological 10,000 level, well, it is a big psychological level, and there is no denying that it has raced to get up here. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some pause and consolidation around that big psychological level. The one thing that we could think that might countervail that argument is this continued uptrend in carbon emissions. I'm planning to do some work tomorrow and try and figure out just what quantity of carbon emissions is required to compensate for one barrel of oil, and then create a multiple so that we can add on the premium from carbon emissions to the oil price, and then come up with a combined or a blended tax on consumption. Because oil price spikes have often been considered to be a tax on consumption, and that a $10 rally in oil corresponded to a decline in economic activity of about 0.1%. So we've had a meaningful move in oil, but it isn't nearly as powerful as this move that we've had in carbon emissions. And this does represent a tax. And then we can add that on to the continued premium that is being put on to shipping costs, and this breakout in the Baltic Dry Index. So there's a lot of questioning about inflationary pressures. And inflation comes from a variety of different sources, and in order for it to trend higher, we would need to see both money creation and shortages, and then demand as well. So, well, we certainly have the shortages. There is a shortage of shipping containers, and there are supply bottlenecks, so that does create inflationary pressures. Then we have these demands for higher wages. It's most particularly evident in the USA, where, for example, in here today, the Biden administration said that government contractors have to pay their workers $15 an hour. That's regardless of where in the USA they work. There is a massive cost differential between the major cities and the center of the country. And $15 an hour represents a massive pay rise for people living outside of the major conurbations. So there is the potential here that we are looking at the same kind of commodity-led price inflation that we had back in the early 2000s. And it's not simply that we're seeing energy prices rising, because Arabica coffee has popped on the upside, and this looks like a completing base formation. The sugar price is also firm in here today, and is popping up and out, and looks like it is completing a first step above its base formation. In the grains and beans, soybeans was rather volatile in here today, and it didn't quite hold all of its advance and finished on the lower side of the day, so we may be seeing some pause and consolidation coming through in there. Wheat prices have been resurgent over the last week or two, but also here we've seen at least a little pause in here today. I've got an in-the-money stop on my position, so I'm willing to hold on to it unless that is triggered, but I will be looking to buy the dip if we see some additional weakness coming through. So we've got a lot of volatility coming through in commodity prices. Then we can think about lumber, which has been exceptionally firm over the course of the last 12 months, pulled back rather violently last week, then recouped the entire decline and was weaker in here today. So we've had a bit of a loss of consistency, and it's not an especially liquid contract. So there's a lot of room for traders to move the price with a comparatively small amount of money. But when we look at some of the more internationally oriented commodities like palm oil, then it is also pushing on the upside in here. So we can definitely conclude that there is a broad pattern of performance among the commodities overall. And when we think about the performance then of some commodity-related funds, then those that hold futures, they should continue to be doing well, because the broad pattern is for a large number of commodities to be pushing on to new high ground. So we have wage demand growth, we have taxes, and I think these are inhibiting factors to easily increase supply. And then, of course, we have the recovering economy and demand. So it's really not at all too much of an argument to suggest that inflationary pressures will be rising for the next couple of years. Now, it's going to take that long to really confirm that the inflation that we're seeing is not transitory. But, and I think that's one of the things that is weighing on the gold price. So gold was down a bit in here today. But the most important thing is that it's pausing around the $1,800 area. And we've had about a hundred and something dollar rally from the support that it found back in March. And the primary consistency of the downtrend has been that it bounced from round numbers and rallied by more than $100. So it's done that now. Now the question is whether $1,700 will continue to represent support. And it will need to do that in order to break the downward bias. So we're at a critical juncture for gold because the pace of the decline has been losing some of the momentum, but the downtrend is still intact. And until that breaks, then we won't have clear confirmation that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Gold is maddeningly frustrating when it goes through these corrective phases, but it is setting us up for the next favorable entry opportunity, and I do still have bids below the market because I've traded gold long enough to be prepared for the occasional surprises that flush out the weak holders. So we are at a rather critical juncture in here, and if it can continue to hold the $1,700 area and then push on above the trend mean, well, then that would be clear confirmation that we have broken the downward bias and are back in a demand-dominated environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.